welcome to the Vintage Truth Podcast today. We're talking about the Mark of the Beast. And the reason we're talking about the Mark of the Beast is because with a lot of the recent things that have happened in our world, developments with the coronavirus and the worldwide panic and isolation and everything else that's been going on, that one of the first things that happens in a time like this is people start inventing things, inventing rumors and talking about various theories and conspiracies and things like that, because basically we have a problem in believing that simple truths can change the world, that one simple thing can change the whole world. You know, people still have a problem believing that Lee Harvey Oswald was the lone assassin for John F. Kennedy, even though all the science points to, and the facts points to the fact that he was. We just can't believe that one guy, one 21-year-old guy, or however old he was, can take a rifle and change the course of history. But it can happen. And how this one virus, as mysterious as it may be to many, how it can change everything. And so people think, well, this is a part of a bigger conspiracy. And certainly there are people who have agendas within something like this. Not to say there could not be some sort of hidden agenda at some point, but there's no evidence for that. So we shouldn't jump to that. But I don't want to refocus on that. I want to focus more on the fact that, yes, Satan does have a world agenda. He is the prince of the power of the air. He is working in the world. But during times like this, instead of just going to the Bible and saying, well, what does the Bible say? Then we want to speculate. We want to sensationalize. We want to invent new theories and new things about how things may be playing out from a prophetic standpoint. And one of the latest theories out there, one of the latest things, and I've seen this several times, is concerning the mark of the beast. And in fact, I just read an article here that was talking about this mark of the beast, how the Antichrist was not going to be a real person. It was going to be just a system. And all these subversive, hidden, covert, secret power structures in the world were really going to be what was going to fuel the whole Antichrist thing. And the mark of the beast wasn't what the Bible says. It was something else. Well, one of the recent theories that has come out that people are propagating is the vaccine for the coronavirus. And I mentioned this on a couple of shows ago, how one person has propagated the theory that, well, maybe the vaccine will be made from the blood of the actual Antichrist, because of course he's immune to it, right? And that by receiving the vaccine, you're receiving the blood of the Antichrist and thus participating in some sort of unholy Antichrist communion. Like we take the grape juice is symbolic of the blood of Jesus. Well, this taking the actual blood of the Antichrist is the first step to falling under his power and taking the mark of the beast. Some have even said the vaccine itself is a form of the mark of the beast, or maybe the mark itself somehow, because it's going to be under your skin kind of thing, right? Other theories have everything to do with RFID or radio frequency identification technology, using the microchip in your hand, that type of thing. We think these things, let me tell you why we think these things, because we look at technology and we look at supposed similarities as to what some sort of world identification system could be. I think it was, it may have been Bill Gates who had proposed something in terms of a national ID system that may have hinted towards a chip and that type of thing, because of course he's Bill Gates, right? But here's what we need to know. We need to look and see what the Bible actually says and go with that, and quit trying to run after every rabbit that scurries across the yard and to try to latch onto that. You know what that does to believers? It creates fear. It creates confusion. It creates anxiety, and it kills faith. It kills faith, and it kills the power that we have in Jesus Christ in us. And I'm always reminded of Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where he says, regarding our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, our rapture to him, that you may not be quickly shaken from your composure or disturbed either by a spirit, a message, or a letter, as if from us, i.e. the apostles, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come, the fact that we are already in the tribulation period. He says, don't believe that garbage. He said, let no one in any way deceive you. Now, how are we not going to be deceived, Paul? Well, according to Paul, it's by hearing what God actually says about the matter. And obviously, there's a lot more I could say about this, but I just want to give you seven important things about the mark of the beast that I think will help keep you from being kind of pulled into the vortex of some of these crazy, outlandish theories out there. And you know what? Look, there's a time to speculate, to say things like, well, you know what? The Antichrist kingdom could look like this, or, you know, he could come from this country or that type of thing. That's okay to say. But when you start proposing an actual theory that this is actually what's going on, then you have crossed the biblical line, in my estimation. And as people who study Bible prophecy, we have to err on the side of caution while being very clear and confident about what the Bible actually does say. And again, to be clear, the only thing we know for sure is what the Bible tells us. Everything above that is speculation. Because you know why? Two reasons. Number one, there are no prophets on the earth today declaring the future, okay? There are none doing that right now. There are expositors that are teaching Bible prophecy based on hard study, but there are no actual supernatural prophets on the earth right now. And the second reason is these things haven't happened yet. And so if they haven't happened, you don't really have the right to be able to tell people like you're predicting the future, okay? So the only future we can predict is the future that's predicted in the Bible, and we don't go beyond that. So let me tell you seven things here, straight from the Bible, about the what, the when, the how, the why, and the who of this mark of the beast, okay? Now you find this in Revelation chapter 13, and it begins there in verse 16, and it's talking about the second beast, the false prophet, who accompanies the Antichrist. And it says in verse 16, and he causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one should be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for his number is that of a man, and his number is 666. Okay? First of all, let's talk about what the Bible tells us the mark of the beast is. This word mark here is used seven times in the book of Revelation, and in chapter 19 and verse 20, the Bible actually uses the phrase, the mark of the beast. It says, and the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet who performed the signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. And it says that the false prophet and the Antichrist were thrown alive in the lake of fire. So, the word mark, it's the Greek word kerygma, and this word was used as a facial stamp on a coin. It was used as a tattoo to mark slaves in the first century and in Greek culture there. But it says there that it'll be a mark, and then it says on the right hand or on the forehead. It doesn't say in the forehead or in the hand. And I think that's specific there. I think John is being specific when he says that. I think that obviously prepositions matter in the scripture. Entire doctrines hinge on prepositions, being in Christ, right? It's a whole doctrine of our salvation and our sanctification, right? And our glorification, in fact. And so I think John is very specific. Jesus gave him these specific words, and he says it's going to be on the hand or on the forehead. That leads me to believe that this mark is going to be something that may be a little less sophisticated and technological than most people think. People think we're just moving more and more because of the internet and because of cashless society and that type of thing, more and more towards everything's being digital. And that's not to say it can't have a digital component to it, but I tend to think it's going to be something that is going to be in some sort of stamp, epidermal stamp with some information there that would identify you as being a member of this World Economic Bank, you know, passport kind of thing. Now, I can't say that for absolute certain, but when I read the scripture, I don't see a computer chip. I see something that is on the hand or on the forehead there. And that basically, as I see it, just enables you to buy and sell with whatever other currency you choose to do it, not necessarily being the currency itself. Now, it could be some sort of link to your bank account, and just like you can scan it. In fact, Amazon right now, Amazon has proposed what's called a biometric checkout technology, which is you just take your actual hand and run it through a scanner, and it identifies your fingerprints and your unique handprint, and that's the way you pay for something. So yes, we have the technology, but keep in mind that the devastation that is going to hit planet Earth 3.5 years into the tribulation period, I don't know that we're going to be able to have that technology at that time. I don't know. But the Bible does say it's going to be on your hand or on your forehead. Another thing is when we look at the mark of the beast, look at what it does. It says that you're able to buy or to sell with the mark. And if you don't have the mark, you can't buy or sell. So there's two things that the mark of the beast does. Number one, it enables you to have an economic passport so that you can participate in the marketplace. However that happens at that time, that you have the ability to do that. If you don't have this mark, you cannot buy anything. You cannot sell anything. In essence, you've just committed economic suicide if you don't have the mark, okay? So the first thing it does, it enables you to buy and to sell. So that's motivation enough for people. And the second thing is, it is a declaration of worship to the beast. It's a way that identifies you as a worshiper of the Antichrist. One of the duties of the false prophet is to cause the world and all those who dwell in it, Revelation 13:12, to worship the first beast. And why are they going to worship him? Because he's going to have been brought back from the dead, and thus, quote unquote, proving himself to be God Almighty, to be a Messiah, to be God in flesh. And this mark is going to be a symbol of your worship of the beast. It's a global pledge of allegiance to this Antichrist. And in fact, Revelation 7:3 is really a kind of like a satanic counterfeit of the seal that God will place upon the foreheads of saints, which is the seal of the Holy Spirit in Revelation 7:3. So there's going to be an invisible symbolic seal on the foreheads of those who follow Christ. And for those who follow Antichrist, he's just mimicking him. He's the Antichrist, right? So he mimics everything about Jesus, even by having a fatal wound and being healed and coming back from the dead. He's mocking the resurrection, okay? So there is a visible sign of worship. That's what it means, and of economic loyalty to his program and to be able to buy and to sell. I believe it's a mark, not a medicine, not a vaccine. It's a mark, not a medicine. I believe it's on the forehead or the hand, not in the forehead or the hand. And you're going to know when it's the mark of the beast, okay? Here's the thing. No one can slip in the mark of the beast on you, okay? That's the thing you need to know. Because when I remember back many years ago, back in the 90s, we moved to a new town and we got a new phone number. And the prefix of the phone number was 666. And the operator said, do you have a problem with having that phone number? Obviously, even operators that back then, telephone operators, knew about the Mark of the Beast. And I said, no, of course not. As long as you don't put it on my hand or my forehead, I don't care. So there's nothing magical about the numbers 666, okay? You need to know that. But you'd also need to know that it's not going to happen by accident. You're not going to all of a sudden get a vaccine and go, ha, 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 I just put the Mark of the Beast in you. That's not going to happen. It can't happen, and it won't happen for a couple reasons. First of all, every person who takes this mark will be doing so voluntarily. All right? Now, if you don't do it, you can't buy or sell, and you're going to be killed, but it's still your choice to do it. It's under threat of death, economic and physical death, that you will take the mark of the beast. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 9 says this. It says, and another angel, a third one, followed him, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image that's been set up in the temple, and receives a mark on his forehead or upon his hand, what's going to happen to every one of those people who receive the mark of the beast? Verse 10. This person will also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment will rise up forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Now, what is that saying? That's saying that every single person who takes the mark is damned for eternity. There's no way out. There's no repentance after that. They have sealed their eternal destiny. They are guaranteed damnation. They are guaranteed the wrath of God. And they have made a deliberate choice to do this. By the way, these are the same people who are also blaspheming the true God. We see this in Revelation 9, see it in Revelation 16, Revelation 19, where they just continue to fight God and to blaspheme God and to curse God because of all the judgments that are fallen. So they deliberately move to this new Savior who's promising them money and the ability to trade and buy things and also peace and safety. And so every person who takes the mark will spend eternity in the lake of fire. In fact, over in chapter 16, verse 2, it says, and the first angel went out and poured his bowl into the earth, and it became a loathsome and malignant sore upon the men who had the mark of the beast and who worshiped his image. So every unbeliever who takes this mark will be tormented for eternity. That's another point. The next point is this. Not one single believer will take the mark. Okay, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of the testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark upon their forehead and upon their hand, and they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So these are these believers, these people who become Christians during the tribulation period, okay? So every person who takes the mark will be damned forever. Not one person who is a Christian will take the mark. So that's why if you're a Christian, you don't have to worry about this if you're alive during that time. So that's a very important point to know the two groups of people that will and will not be involved in this event. Here's another fact you need to know is that I don't believe that the church, the bride of Christ as she is now, will be a part of that tribulation period. In other words, I do not believe Christians will be subject to the wrath of the Antichrist. I don't think we're going to be under his reign. I don't think we're going to know who he is. Only those who live in that tribulation period are going to know who he is. And we see that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where Paul says the restrainer, the Holy Spirit, has to be removed from the planet in terms of his influence in the church before the Antichrist is revealed. So you can't know who the Antichrist is before the rapture. And that passage in Revelation 13, where he talks about let him who has wisdom calculate the number of the beast. You know, we try to figure out who the beast is, who the Antichrist is. Guess what? This is for the people who are living in the tribulation to read this. The people who are living in the tribulation will be able to figure out who the Antichrist is because of the number of his name and because also of his deeds as well. But another thing to keep in mind is these people who are going to take the mark, they're also, although they'll do it willingly, they're also going to be under a satanic delusion. This is in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, and he's talking about the Antichrist. In verse 9, he says this, "That is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, and with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. And for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they may believe what is false." Well, what is the false part of that? It's the entire ministry of the Antichrist, specifically the fact that he is God. They're going to fall under this delusion and be duped by the Antichrist, which will even further persuade them to want to have the mark of the beast. So in summary, in no particular order, in summary here, we talked about what the mark is. It's an actual mark. It's not medicine, according to Revelation 13. It's on the hand or the forehead, not in the hand or the forehead. It's preceded by the rapture. Those who receive the mark are under delusion. No believers will take the mark, and it'll identify you as a worshiper of the Antichrist along with the ability to pay. And then finally, every unbeliever who takes the mark will be damned forever. So this is not something in terms of the mark of the beast that we have to be concerned about in this age. However, that doesn't say that the world is not ramping up to that, that the world is not preparing itself for the future Antichrist. I believe that she is right now. The whole world is getting ready for the Antichrist. And certainly technology will play some part of his regime in that future day. But listen, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about that. You're not going to take the mark of the beast. You need to worry right now about not falling under the spirit of the Antichrist, which is alive right now, and all of his lies. And I outline a lot of that in my new book, Interview with the Antichrist. I encourage you to pick up a copy and read it. It's a fiction novel, but then at the end, I give you 30 questions about what the Bible actually says about Antichrist, because the only thing we can really trust with great authority is the scripture. So I hope that helps. I hope that kind of clears up some of the misinformation out there about the mark of the beast, the who, what, when, where, and how. And I hope that you'll take comfort in that. Hey, until next time, this is Jeff Kinley speaking for the Vintage Truth Podcast. Stay close to Jesus, my friend.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.